Take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. What a great book. Oh, I hope you've enjoyed it. I certainly have, as we've been through chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and began chapter 5. And praise the Lord. Last Sunday night, as you'll know, we were in Ephesians chapter 5 for just a few minutes as we looked at the first part of it. Be therefore followers, mimickers of God, as dear children, as beloved children. It's not children that are kicking and screaming and they're kicking the rocks when, you know, mom and daddy have to say something and they, ugh! And they go out and they talk to the dog for a while, you know, as little ones will do sometimes, and maybe some of us not so little. Well, just... No, that's just kind of rough and gruff as far as a child. But he talks here about being a beloved child. That child that has that implicit, that true trust in the word of his dad or his mom, and just says, you know what, there's a part of me that's wanting to say, I don't like that. But then there's another part of me that says, you know what, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. When I was in juvenile work many, many years ago, I had more than one, as a matter of fact, several, during the brief time I was just in it for a year, and then God sent me right back into youth work in a miraculous way. But nonetheless, story for a different day. But I had a number of those young people, especially the ones that were in serious trouble. They could have been tried as adults. And I've had them look at me, mean and just whatever, and realizing the weight, not so much of their guilt, but now they're feeling the weight. They've been adjudicated. I was there with them in court, and it was my responsibility after court to see to it that they were incarcerated and things like that, and to interview them ahead of time and after for the next whatever, however long, wherever they were. I had to go see them and give accounts of them. But I've had several look at me and say, I wish I'd have had a dad who told me no. I wish I'd have a mom who told me no. They let me have whatever I wanted. Or if I just pitched a fit, if I was just angry and kicked things and did things, they figured, well, we'll just calm the waters, he'll settle down. Well, that was his strategy of getting what he wanted. And so he learned early in life, the way to get what you want is just either bulldozing your way through it or finagling your way through it. However you needed to travel the waters, you just did it. And now here I am, probably going to be behind bars or in a youth development facility for years to come. Here's what he is saying in Ephesians chapter 1, or 5, verse 1, and we're not going to park there because we've already been there, and we've looked in the windows and enjoyed the view. At least I have, and I hope that you have as well. But he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The choir sang tonight. You've been singing tonight. The accompanists have played tonight. And everything had the love of God wrapped all in it. So interwoven. Oh, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. So interwoven. It was the red, white, and blue, so to speak, of our faith. Of how God loves us. You know, when you see the flag, it makes you think of liberty, does it not? Sure, it should. It ought to just bring up a well of gratitude in our hearts for those who've paid the ultimate price and those who've paid a price away from family and maybe dodging bullets and survived doing so. The red, white, and blue ought to stir up some patriotism for this land of this land and the people who've paid dearly for it. But when you and I consider all that God has done for us, it ought to just well up within us, Lord, I tried to be obedient yesterday, but Lord, I want to find a new way today. I want to find a new aspect, a new color on the rainbow in which to say I love you. And oftentimes when you're on your knees praying, that's a good time to just become creative in trying to just share with the Lord how much you love him. And that's what this is about. But we travel into some treacherous territory here in Ephesians 5. He goes from be therefore a dear child or a beloved child, a follower of God as dear children. Walk in love, and we dealt with that. Oh, but verse 3, we talked about the things, but fornication, all uncleanness. I mean, he just gives a catalog of things that are the intruders into our intimate fellowship with God. They just kind of shove their nose in the door. They just kind of make sure that they contaminate the area. And he just goes on. And in verse 5, he backs that up by saying, wait a minute, be sure that you understand that those who commit such things have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now, he doesn't say they're going to heaven or not going to heaven. He just says they're not. Their inheritance is shot. They've squandered the opportunity to lay up for themselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, neither do thieves break through nor steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth doth corrupt, neither do thieves break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, the Bible says. So he just makes certain that we understand there's a lot at issue here. If I maintain a bad attitude, a selfish attitude, a just whatever it is, oh, it's just the old devil sticking his nose right in the doorway of our wanting to walk as a beloved child of God. And so that's what he is saying as he continues in verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now he's talking about the unsaved. So he's saying, listen, these folks who are not saved, they are children of disobedience, and my wrath is already being poured out on them, John 3:36. But the wrath of God, present participle, is abiding on them. They're unsaved. So you need to understand, if you're adopting or accepting an attitude, an ambition, or an action that is consistent with an unsaved person's, by the way, that's why we don't sing CCM music. Okay, just park there for a second, all right? The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'm not going to take time. We'll do it another time. It's not neither here nor there. You can do the same thing. But I've looked up everything the Bible has to say about music. Every single verse, as far as I can tell. Every verse. And we have to be really careful. We have to be really careful about the music. And I'm taking digression here and I won't stay on it long. But just understand, the devil, again, like I said this morning, never gives you a spoonful of arsenic. Now, does that mean we all just all walk around singing holy, holy, holy? Well, that'd be okay too. Nothing wrong with that. But we may have differences, but where it becomes, in my opinion, not only inaccurate, but wrong, because it's bringing together just a blending of that which pleases the flesh that was never designed to be Christian music. Never designed. Okay, I did, when I was in youth work, I stayed up on all of the rock and roll artists and all of that and their lifestyle and what they said and so forth. And because I had a bunch of teenagers, I had about 100 teenagers in the youth group. And so I tried to stay up on all of that. And then when contemporary Christian music started coming up, you had the Stripers and you had this and you had that and the other that tried to blend the two. There was some like Amy Grant. And again, I don't want to go too far, but Amy Grant, just she's got a voice like an angel. And her music was right up there. I mean, just really, really good. And then all of a sudden, I started to notice kind of a change. And so I began to warn my young people about it. Say, listen, I know that she's been singing this, and so far it's been just right down the line. But all of a sudden, there's a change in the wind. And I didn't know it at the time, but that became her ambition, was to be the first Christian music artist, as they call themselves, the first Christian music artist to make a successful transition from Christian music into rock and roll. If you know anything about Amy Grant today, that's exactly what she did. As she began this process, and I'm not here about Amy Grant, but it's true, and somewhere in my files, I've got all the records of it, is that I think it was in Parents Magazine. She had a gentleman to travel with her. Have I said that in here? I may have done it in school. She had a gentleman that traveled with Amy and her friend and her husband, who was with her at the time. They've since divorced, but anyway, traveled with them. And I think on this particular trip to Africa, I don't think her husband was with her, come to think of it. And so he was there to interview her as they would travel from city to city or whatever. And again, we have young ears in here, so I'll not go into detail, other than she and her best friend, another young lady, decided to go swimming in Africa, and saw where a sign was there at the beach, and they thought it was it's not Africano, I forget what the language is, but she thought that it said nude swimming. So she and her friend peeled off their clothes and went swimming, and she noticed that, the article said she noticed that the people were looking at her, especially the guys, were looking at her, and so they found out that's not what the sign said. I don't remember what the sign said. And I thought, you know, that's out there. You know, anything can be in print. People write all kinds of things about other people. So I called her office. And I tried to talk with Miss Grant, but she wasn't available. But I talked to her manager. And I said, listen, I saw this article, and I know people say things that you know, and she talked about getting corked. You know, she doesn't get drunk very often, but just every once in a while, I think she used the word snookered or something like that. And she said every once in a while, it's not so bad. And this is the same article. So I asked her about the African thing. She said, yeah, she did. This guy had been traveling with them so much, she just let down her guard and told her what she really did. Now, my point is this. And by the way, I also, when I was a youth pastor, I wrote the major Christian, contemporary Christian artists, and I asked them who their favorite rock musicians were. I had a little thing I published called Youth Yak that about once every month or every two or three months, I would have all the activities in it, and I would have articles that I would write for my teenagers and things like that to help them grow. And then I also put in some things of contemporary interest, not just contemporary music, but just things that are going on in the world with young people. And so I told them, I have this thing that I publish, you know, and so forth, and I just want to know who your favorite rock musicians are. And there was one or two of them that never responded, two or three that didn't respond, but I got some that said, oh yeah, I really like so-and-so with whatever it was, Led Zeppelin or the Stones or whatever it was. And so my point is, and I'll get off of that, because we're going to do a thing on music down the road somewhere. And again, different. I'm not against certain kinds of gospel music that is just dear to the heart, and it's not sung like Hollywood or Nashville necessarily, and it's not sung like it's just a music from the heart. And I'm not opposed to that. We're going to have some of that, but music that is done in a contemporary Christian style that has the beat of the rock, okay. And then it has maybe good words, maybe a straight scripture, but what it's doing is it's building a bridge back into the world. Because people will say, especially those who are saved out of rock music, and they will start to listen to it, they like the words because it's the words that speak to their Christian experience, their Christian life. But the music itself has that which leads some folks right back into the world again. And the Bible is very clear about that. Love not the world. You're a peculiar people, okay? How many of you are still here? Are you still here? You haven't left yet. I'm glad. All right. So don't, if that doesn't make sense to you, don't just swallow it for right now. Trust me, okay? And again, I know trust can be taken advantage of. I'll never do that. I would rather God take my life. And I don't say that casually. I've come close to death a number of times, okay? I don't take that casually. I'd rather God take my life than to lead my people erroneously. And when I say my people, I don't mean that in a possessive like I own you. But, oh, I just like I do my sons. Oh, I love my sons, you know. And I have that intimate relationship with them. And that's the way I feel about the folks who've invited me and my dear wife to be a part of your lives here at Calvary Baptist. So I pray that you'll take that and just consider it. Don't allow the flesh to get in there and be defensive, okay? But the Bible says that and we're going to get into it in Ephesians 5. I just thought about that. We're going to get into Ephesians 5 about music. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to whom? To the Lord. That's right. Making melody to the Lord. And let me give you a Bible principle real quickly, and then we'll get to why we're here tonight. Music needs to do one of two things. It either needs to be consistent with the Word of God, or it needs to complete the Word of God. If it's in contradiction to the Word of God, then we better leave it alone. Amen? You say, well, what does consistent mean? Okay, let's see. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as chartreuse or snow or something. All right. Whose fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the fleece was, I mean, the lamb was sure to go. I'm a little behind on my, whatever you call them. All right. Nursery rhymes or whatever it is. All right. So here we go. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. I want you to look this up in the Bible somewhere, okay? Mary had a little lamb. You can use a blue letter Bible if you want. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the fleece was The lamb was sure to go. All right. Well, I guess the fleece would go with her, wouldn't it? All right. Now, where in the Bible does it say that? It doesn't, does it? No. Okay? So if it doesn't say it, maybe we shouldn't sing it. Well, does it contradict any Bible principle that you can think of? By way of the words? By way of the lyrics? Is there a contradiction? Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. Does it contradict love not the world, neither things, or John 3:16, or whatever the passage of Scripture? It doesn't contradict any. There's some classical music like that. There's some old-time bluegrass music like that. It has to be old-time. Bluegrass has gone the way of country music. Old country music used to be a lot more tame than it is now. Would you agree? Okay. So we have to be careful. If it contradicts the Word of God, then we better leave that alone, even if we like it. There's things I like. Okay, maybe we're just going to digress tonight. Okay, I like water slides. I really like water slides. I'm hoping when we get to heaven that the river of life has some kind of an off branch that goes down for a cloud or two. And it just goes zoom, 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 and then I flutter back up and I get back up and do it again. I love water slides. I don't go to water slides. Sometimes people don't dress the best at water slides, okay? And if I go to a water slide where I know there's especially ladies and women who are not, and those are not always the same thing, but I will digress on that. But sometimes there are folks who are not dressed appropriately. And if I know that ahead of time and I just do it anyway and say, well, I'm just not going to pay attention, then I'm foolish. I'll say amen. Amen. I'm foolish. Okay? And unfortunately, when I became a youth pastor, and I love what? Did I tell you I love water slides? I love water slides. And so I decided, I'm going to take our young people. All right, young people, here's the dress standard. And so all the young ladies wore modest clothing. They had a heavy shirt on and cutoffs that were modest and maybe a sweatshirt kind of a thing. The guys had cutoffs and wore a shirt. And so this is great. We can go do it. I didn't think about who else would be there. And I had youth sponsors that work with me. And one of them came up to me and said, Brother Bray. And I said, I know. They said, yeah, this may not have been the best idea, right? Because there were a lot of young ladies there who were not dressed appropriately. And what I was doing was putting something in front of them by way of temptation. Temptation will come without us going after it. Amen? So my point is that. Now, what I did do later on, when we had a larger youth group, and there was a youth group up in Dallas, and they had the same problem that I did. They had a large youth group. It was a big church, about, I don't know, 1,500 or so. And David Pittman was their youth pastor. He's a pastor up in the D.C. area now. But David had the same problem I did. And so what we did is we brought our youth groups together and rented the whole water slide. Then we could have modesty. We could have a lot of fun. There's nothing wrong with getting wet. And we lived by a lake, and we'd go water skiing. And our young ladies would wear culottes. And just in the water skiing, they looked a little funny to start with. And they were a little timid about it. You know, looks a little strange. But you know what? After they got going, and they had a blast. And we had a ball. We did it many times. My point is, if you can do it without contradicting the Word of God, there's nothing wrong with that. But the moment that you turn a blind eye, like for me, when I'm reading, I have to close my right eye. Otherwise, I won't be able to read what's in the whatever I'm trying to read. Okay, so I turn a blind eye toward what I don't want to see because it'll just be blurry. Well, if we blur out the things of the world and then we expose ourselves to it intentionally so, then we're not walking after Christ as beloved children. Okay, enough of that. I've dumped enough on you at one time to where if we have anyone show up on Sunday, I will be very thrilled. All right, here we go, Ephesians chapter 5. Preacher's against my music. All right. No, I'm not. I'm for your walk with the Lord. And I don't know what kind of music. No one's told me what music you listen to. But my purpose here, like Moses's before the children of Israel, was for Moses not to say, now, children of Israel, I'm going to tell you what I think, folks. And I want you to follow everything that I say. No, what did he do? He said, and the word of the Lord was, and he tells them what the word of the Lord was. My responsibility as pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, if we have a congregation of 3 or 300 or 3,000, my responsibility is to tell you the Word of God and to help you to not have stumbling blocks. You remember what Galatians 6:1 says? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. The word overtaken is an interesting word. It has the idea of a trap spring. A person, I may have mentioned this before, but a person just kind of walking around in the woods and not really paying attention, not wanting to get into any kind of a trap. He's just walking around, maybe looking at birds, maybe hunting for some critter. He's just walking around, and previously somebody had put out a fox trap or a bear trap, one that's on springs and it closes fastly, very quickly and fast. It's fast held. It says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. And in my opinion, there's many because of things that we embrace, like music, that goes to the heart. The music we love, we take to the heart. Okay, so that's the important thing, is that the priority is not, do I like it? I like water slides. But I have to wait until heaven, if then, to be able to go. Why? Because in my opinion, it is putting myself or others in the way of temptation. And the wrong kind of music, I'm not saying you have to listen to classical. Classical music sometimes is very good. My dad was a concert violinist, played all over the Midwestern part of the country full time when he was 16 years old. Concert after concert after concert. Had a full-time pianist that traveled with him, taught him his lessons. He was a former school teacher. Classical music, I grew up with it. Okay, it's not my cup of tea particularly. Becky loves it. Okay, I like certain types, like not the War of 1812, but it's something 1812. What's it called? The Overture of 1812, okay? I like that because it goes boom, boom, bang, bang, all right? I like that. But the rest of it, and my point is this, and maybe I've strayed here tonight. Not maybe, I have. None of that's on my notes. But the truth is, I love you folks. I love you with a heart that a pastor can have for his people that loves him. Regardless of what you think about tonight, I love you, okay? And I would just ask you to go to the Word and see if it's consistent with what the Word says. Because if we are sincere but sincerely wrong, we're still going to still be in, have walk a pathway that's sincere but sincerely erroneous. And those kinds of pathways always lead to the wrong place. That's why I ask those musicians, who's your favorite rock artist? Who's your favorite this? Who's your favorite that? And I would read about the lifestyles. And CCM, you go to the Christian bookstore now. I'm keeping going here. You can find hip-hop Christian music. You can find jazz Christian music. You can find this kind of Christian music. In other words, what they've done is the same thing that the seeker-friendly church has done. Some of the big churches that are following the seeker-friendly church, they did a survey in their community. And this is what they did, the first of them. They went out in the community and said, what about church you don't like? Oh, we don't like the music, it's boring. We don't like this, and so we don't like that. We don't like the version, we don't like this. And so what they did is they threw out everything that people don't like so that they would come and they would hear about the love of God. Okay? And so the point I'm trying to make, and I have digressed, is we want to love the Lord with all our hearts. With all our hearts. And if any of you have any questions about it, or if it rubs the wrong way and I'm trying to saw the wrong way, so to speak, across the grain, come see me. We'll chat about it. I'm not going to get upset with you. And we'll just talk. And if I can't show you Bible principle, then you have good reason to say, wait a minute, Brother Bray. And if you have good Bible principle for showing me where it's okay, I may say, well, you know, by George, I hadn't seen that before. But I've tried to do a diligent study so that when I stand behind a desk like this one, a sacred desk, and preach the Word of God, I'm not preaching Randy Bray's opinion, but I'm preaching what I believe is biblical and will promote spiritual growth in your life and in your hearts. All right. If you'll smile at me, if I'll get 6 smiles, I'll be good. If I don't get smiles, I'm going to go on for another hour. Oh, you're sad, did it? All right. Let's go to the book then, Ephesians chapter 5. And we won't stay long. I've taken some time on that. But let's look at it, all right? And he gives a whole catalog of things here in just a moment. He says, "Be ye not," verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Notice verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness." In other words, before you got saved, you were in darkness. Okay, don't do that. "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." In other words, there's to be that night and day difference between what you were before you got saved and after you got saved. And you say, what about an 8-year-old or a 5-year-old to get saved? They walk in the light as well. And what God's will is, as they're walking in the light and maturity enables them to learn more and be exposed to more, that they make the light choices. Even as John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And so we're going to move right beyond that and look at the very next verse. He says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." There we go. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." So if you take the things of the world, and he's going to give us a whole list of things just here in just a moment. But when he does, he says, notice in verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So we have to have, as I turn the page, and I turn 2 pages, he says, "For the fruit," verse 9, "for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness." So fruit of the Holy Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. "But have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Remember Romans chapter 12? He says, "Abhor that which is evil, but cleave to that which is good." We looked at it because just before that it says, "Let your love be without dissimulation." Don't feign, don't fake your love. Have a godly love for those who maybe even don't care for you at all. But have a godly love for them. Well, how do you do that when they're not easy to love? He says, "Abhor that which is evil." Have a holy hatred for evil, but cleave. Oh, grab it. Hold on to it. Don't let go of it. Cleave to that which is good. Have a holy hatred. No. Have a holy hatred for that which is evil. And when you do that, and I do that on a daily basis, as I'm exposed to this. No, I'm going to cleave to that which is good. When I'm exposed to that, oh, that's okay. I can cleave to that. Oh, wait, no. And I have a holy hatred for that. As I'm doing that, as I just go through life. Maybe it's an attitude early in the morning. Maybe it's an opportunity in the evening. Maybe it's this or that. And we just get used to responding in a biblical fashion. Love that which is good. Abhor that which is evil, and my love will be without dissimulation. There's no one going to be faking it at all. Well, then he says this, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." Verse 12, "For it is a shame." He talks about that. Verse 13, "But all things that are reproved are manifest in the light." That's why I said it either completes a Bible principle or it contradicts a Bible principle or it's consistent with a Bible principle. And there's no music. It's not religious music. It's not Christian music. But in and of itself, it does not have any aspects of the world. And we're going to look at the music next time, Lord willing. But as far as from the Bible principles. But when it you have the music, and here's just for what it's worth, It needs to be consistent with the Word or complete the Word of God by the lyrics, number one. Number two, by the musicians themselves. But what if they write really, really, really good stuff? I mean, the lyrics are first class. Yes, it's got a little bit of this to it, and a little bebop to it, and a little, and it just makes it good for the young people. No, it doesn't. It's a nice little, oh, the fruit is good to eat. Oh, it's good to eat. Okay? If the music, if the words, if the lyrics are biblical, great. If they're not contradictory to the Word of God, that's fine. I wouldn't make that the major part of my listening. I'd make the major part of that, which is edifying, the building up of my walk with the Lord. But if it's music that just, it doesn't contradict the Word of God in its lyrics or in the lyricist, the one who writes the music or writes the words. The lyricist would be the words, and the musician would be the one who writes the music. If either of those walk in a certain way that's contradictory to the Word of God, then we're just building a little side detour to get right back into that false direction. Because if so and so, okay, well, if I like the lyrics are good, but the music is kind of, well, yeah, it's kind of like music of the world, okay? Or the other way around. In other words, we need to be careful what we put in our hearts. I don't know about you, but I try to be careful, especially for Becky. She tries to be really careful what I put in my mouth, because a lot of it would be chocolate chip cookies and peanut butter milkshakes and all that kind of thing. So she wants to make sure. But when it comes to something sour, or if it's out of date, I mean, if it's out of date. Now, when we first got married, I wasn't real careful about it, because I had stocked up some canned goods and things like that. We got married. She went to the pantry. She said, "Randy, this is, I think you did, didn't you?" Yeah, she did. She said, "This has been out of date for 2 years," or whatever it was. It's just not good. Not good at all right? So we're real careful about meat and about things like that, and should be. But we also need to be careful about the exposures that we welcome. We welcome, either by the music, by the lyrics, or by the ones that wrote it, because those are all just because we may be comfortable with the music and say, okay, if so-and-so, if Bray wrote this music, and he wrote this other music, it must be okay. That's why we have to be careful here at Calvary. We don't want anything that has a flavor of CCM to it. Not at all. My goodness, why would we do that? And here at the church, build a bridge for people to go into the world. When he said, "Love not the world." In other words, not talking about the terra firma out there that you're going to walk on. We're not talking about the air that you breathe. We're talking about philosophies of the world. And so we have to be very careful. We don't walk around with our magnifying glass going like this, and I'm better than you are because I don't listen to bad music, and you do. Na-na-na-boo-boo, I'm better than you. No, goodness gracious, that's proudful. That's wicked. Okay, nothing right with that. But we are to be good stewards of what we have in the Word of God. And say, "Lord, just because I like it is not the guarantor of righteousness. So, Lord, help me to develop my appetite." I'll quit on it with this illustration. My dad, as you can imagine, was very strict about music. When I went to Bob Jones, they're very strict about music. I was 14 or 15 years old when I went there in the academy. My junior year of high school, I was able to get a job at Word of Life Camps up in Scroon Lake, New York. And a fundamental camp. Just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of young people. They had the ranch for boys and girls, junior age boys and girls. They had the island for teenagers. And then they had the inn for adults. I worked at the inn. I was the youngest one they'd ever had. They probably regretted it. But nonetheless, I was there with the adults. And I was a waiter at the inn in the restaurant. And where they would come and they would feed them. And it was a very pleasant atmosphere. Well, I had a roommate, and about all of the, we lived in, the guys that worked there lived in a bunch of cabins, and just a long row of different rooms that guys lived in. Just about everybody in that, they came from all kinds of different colleges, King's College, and just a number of different Christian colleges. I had never heard CCM, never heard it. I knew about rock and roll, I knew about that, and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and all of those, Jagger, Mick Jagger and all of those. Nah, boy, no, I'm bad. But I'd never heard of CCM. And it began to infiltrate. Don Wurtson, Jack Wurtson's son, was one of the ones that made a bridge from to bring CCM into independent fundamental churches, okay? And that happened while I was there. I sang in the ensemble. They allowed me to sing with them. And Don Wurtson would bring in music that would have the beat to it, It didn't have all the heavy metal kind of stuff going on that the Stripers did and other Christian CCM artists. But it was a flavor. I fell in love with it. This is wonderful. This is good. I don't have to get into rock and roll. I can just do this. And this is good. And I ate it, loved it, knew the whole time it wasn't right. But that didn't matter. I loved it. It was a part of me. I just loved it. And it led me right into the other. Van Halen, some of those things. I knew the whole time it was violating Bible principle. But I walked down that pathway. Dear friend, what I'm saying here tonight, and again, I don't know why I've gotten into all this, other than to say this, we want to do it right. Amen? We don't want to get to heaven and hear the Lord say, I put a new song in your heart, even praise to the Lord. And you tried to praise me with using the world's music? If it sounds like the world, it's written in a worldly environment. The same people that play the CCM, another night of the week, they play in a band that's in a nightclub, and that's fact with some. I mean, why? There's no difference in the music. It's just in the words a lot of times, not all the time. But some of them, it's kind of like what they used to call bubblegum rock. And it's just easy rock, easy whatever. And the devil is so sly. And that's where I want us to be careful. All right. I love you. I love you. And I know sometimes that's a difficult thing to kind of chew on. But let me just challenge you. Either I'm right or wrong, because I'm just Bray. I'm a pastor, but I study the Word. You can study the Word. And so study it for yourself. Don't just go by what you like. I loved it. But I got hammered by the Lord. I got hammered because I knew it wasn't right. And I had to come to a place where I didn't like the other. When I fell in love with this, I just distanced myself from the other. And here was my prayer. This is honest truth. I said, Lord, I don't like the right kind of music. The music that I know is right according to your word. Not necessarily Christian music, but music that doesn't violate Bible principle by the one that wrote it, by the lyrics, or by the music itself. I don't like the right kind of music. Lord, I love this other kind of music. I mean, I was young and I enjoyed being around young people's music, and I just ate it up. And I said, Lord, I know I love the wrong thing. Please help me, Lord. Help me to change my appetite. I'm going to intentionally not listen to the wrong kind of music. I'm going to make myself listen to the right music. And God did a work in my heart. And I'm asking you to do the same thing that I did and just check it out and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, for some tonight, that's probably what you've been doing all along. Perhaps, and I have no one in mind. Please don't think I do. I have no one in mind. I'm not trying to figure out faces or anything else because I can't see faces very well anyway from here. So I can see basically where you are, but I can't see eyes. I see sockets, but that's all I see. So my point is this. And no apologies here for what I've said, by the way. Digressing, maybe not even that. Because we're on a road, we're on a pathway to be used of God. Amen? And the devil's going to try to be sneaky and get in and try to get us through bitterness or music or attitudes or somebody offends us. Or he doesn't care. Those are just all strategies. All strategies. So let's look at it and we'll bring it to a conclusion. Okay? Verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou. Oh, wait a minute. Well, we can be asleep spiritually then, huh? He says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Notice what he says then, see then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Won't take time to go into all the language, but it's simply this. The word walk is, I've talked about it before, you're just walking around. There's another kind of walk that's very strict, and it's in a straight line, very straight line. And it's the kind of walk that soldiers would do in form. Okay? That kind of a walk. The walk he's talking about here is just walking around. I walk over here by the Corallos, and I'm here by my sister, and over here by these folks, and I'm right here by them, and just walking around, okay? So that's the word. Okay? If you want to know the words, peripateo. Peri means around. Pateo is to walk. Says you're walking around. But the key word here is circumspectly. Circumspectly has the idea of that you're really paying attention. I'm walking around. Oh, wait a minute. There's quicksand there. I grew up in Arizona, and they teach us children how to watch out for quicksand. Okay, there's not a lot of it, but there is some. So as you're walking around, and you're walking circumspectly. And notice the addendum to that. What he says not as, I'm not going to quote it right, so let me get there. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So we have the choice. And then notice the next statement. Redeeming the time because the days are what? Oh, they're evil. That doesn't mean we have to be paranoid about it. We don't have to look under every bush and see if there's a demon under there and go, oh, no, I got it. No, you don't have to do that. We're to be strong in the Lord. Stand. Quit you like men. Be strong. And talk about the courageous woman. Talk about Proverbs 31 woman and so many others of ladies of great strength. Esther, if I die, I die. But for such a time as this, as she was advised and she embraced that. We don't have to walk around in fearful of temptation. All we just have to be aware that it's there and respond biblically. He says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. We've talked about that, but let's just finish with that tonight. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. So what he's dealing with in that verse is really, it's an overview of everything he said in chapter 5. You remember he talked about, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And then he talked about, it goes downhill, but fornication, all uncleanness, verse 3. And neither filthiness nor foolish, verse 4. And verse 5, know ye not that no whoremonger and all of that? Let no man deceive you. Verse 6, be not, he's talking about the difference in walking in wisdom before God and in foolishness, adopting, welcoming in a certain level of comfortableness with the things of the world. Okay? Now that doesn't mean you have to drive a jalopy that's falling apart because there's something righteous about driving around in a car that's falling apart because we're not supposed to have a comfortable car. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is being wise in saying, Lord, are you pleased with this? Do I have 100% of your approval with this attitude, with this ambition, with this action, with this relationship, with whatever it is? Because the Bible says in Corinthians, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do most of what you're going to do to the glory of God. Amen or no? No. All right, good. You answered that correctly. Why don't you say it with me? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to what? The glory of God. And that's what this chapter is all about. So now what he's going to deal with here when he talks about verse 18, you have the word drunk. It means totally inebriated. Really what he's going after in this word drunk is intoxicated. It has the idea to be totally influenced. Be not totally influenced with wine, where it is excess. I think I've mentioned this already, but I'll mention it again. In here, not trying to be technical here, but sometimes it's good to be that way. Notice what he says, be not drunk with wine. The word wherein is a relative clause, all right? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So a relative clause has to modify a noun. The only noun in that sentence that wherein is excess, the only one that it can modify is what word? W-I-N-E. What is that word? It's the only word it can modify. Okay? So he is saying, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be totally inundated. Don't be intoxicated with wine. Wherein is excess? And most people believe the word excess means too much. You look it up and you're going to find that what it means is debauchery. He is saying, don't be intoxicated with wine. The intoxicated part comes from the word drunk. If you look it up in the original, that's what it's dealing with. All right? So a person can be drunk drinking intoxicating wine. He says, don't be drunk with wine. And then he gives a relative clause. It's a commentary on wine. He says, wherein is debauchery? So if you have, let's see, I'll take this pen apart, and I got a little top here. So whatever amount of intoxicating wine goes into this little cap, there's a certain amount of that that is debauchery. Okay? This is not Randy Bray's words. This is the Word of God. Anybody can look it up in the Greek language. Okay? I talked to the dean of the seminary at Bob Jones about this very matter. Okay? And he said that it is exactly right, because they put a book in the bookstore that kind of gave the impression that it's okay to socially drink. And so I talked with Dr. Hankins, and I said, Dr. Hankins, you'll forget more Greek than I'll ever know, and which is a truthful statement. And I said, but if I'm accurate in my understanding of the language, the part about being drunk, the part about being intoxicated has nothing to do with the wine, with excess. It has the Greek word for being drunk. There's where you're intoxicated. I said, if I understand it correctly from the language, the word excess has nothing to do with how much. It's talking about debauchery. Dr. Hankins said, well, let me look that up. And so he did. He said, Brother Bray, you're exactly right. Okay? And I wasn't talking to him because of, I just wanted to be right on it. Well, I did. That was actually why I was talking to him. I wanted to be accurate on it. But also, it's been a problem with folks. Because Christian folks believe that if I just take a little wine, and, you know, it's okay. And we won't get into wine tonight. That's a whole different discussion. But the point I'm trying to make is this, that what we need to do, and the passage here says, don't be drunk with wine where it is excess. He's not really drinking, he's not really focusing on the drinking of wine here. He's using the wine and being intoxicated, totally inundated with its influence. He's using that to say, this is how I want you to be, how God wants you to be with the Spirit. He wants you to be totally influenced by the Spirit. So notice what he says. He says, be not totally drunk. Don't be drunk with wine, because it has that ability. It can overrule your normal thoughts. If you take in enough, you're going to do things that you don't even know you're doing. Believe me, I've been around plenty. I work with Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been with a number of alcoholics. And I headed up the group therapy. It's called Alateens, working with teenagers whose parents are alcoholics or drug addicts. And I can talk to you about DTs. I can talk to you about watching a daddy going through DTs in the middle of the floor, and his teenage daughter standing by me weeping and saying, why is my daddy doing that? Not knowing if he's going to live or die. You can't stop DTs when they're going. At least at that time they said you couldn't, because I tried to stop him, tried to get his tongue out of his mouth, and they pulled me back. Said, you can't do it. A seizure, yes, you can do that. DTs, no. And the point I'm trying to make is that he says, don't be drunk with wine, because it has the ability to overrule your abilities of thought. He says, but let's talk about being filled with something. No, not wine, because you'll do things that you never knew that you ever did. It is possible for an alcoholic to go a year and a half and never remember what he did for that year and a half. I've seen them do it for 2 and 3 years. When they dry out and they're fully dried out, they have no idea what they've done. They have no idea. It's gone, totally gone for 2, 3, 1, however many years. But he says here, instead of that, instead of being totally inundated with something that can have you doing things you don't even know you're doing, he says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want here at Calvary Baptist Church. Is we want men and ladies who don't always agree with the pastor. Because I've been wrong. The Word of God's never wrong. Never wrong. And so, I invite you, if what I've said tonight is rubbing the cat the wrong way, so to speak, and that happens, and that's not a pleasant experience if you've done that, but take it to the Word. And take my heart with you to the Word. My heart isn't the guarantor of accuracy. But a study of the Word of God has taught me how when we build paths for us that makes it real easy, we're trying to go this way, and yet at the same time, we have a tendency to go this way. I've told you too many times already, but I'll use it again because when I had that bad skiing accident, they put my leg back together, and when I woke up from the surgery, the bones were splintered real badly. So the surgeon that did the surgery on my leg said, Mr. Bray, I'm sorry I couldn't put your leg back straight. He said, it was just splintered so badly it wouldn't fit. We tried to make it work and it didn't. He said, so your foot is, your right foot, if I put my 2 feet to where they're parallel, I feel like I'm absolutely pigeon-toed. I feel like I'm standing like this, okay? For me, my right foot feels, it's just as normal as it can be going like this. And most of the time, there's no problem unless I'm on wet pavement, okay? And I have one foot that's trying to go north, and I got another foot that's wanting to go northeast. And that does not do good. I have fallen at the grocery store. I have fallen at Ambassador. I have fallen at different places. Why? Because my feet are not going in the same direction. And when you and I as children of God, when there's Bible principles that tell us, and if we don't like it, that's okay. It's okay. But then ask God to help you to change your liker. Okay? To be conformed to the image of His Son. Because if we don't do that, and we just say, preacher's not going to tell me what I can listen to. I've listened to it all my life, and I'm okay. Okay, well, what's the definition of okay? Is it Bray saying, okay, okay, bless you, okay, bless you, okay? No! But I'm to be the herald of truth from the Word of God. I'm going to give an account. If I back off of something that is causing, or could cause, I have no idea. I have no idea who listens to anything in here. Okay? None. Zip. That's in the Hebrew. Zip. I have no idea. But I do know this, that the devil is deceitful. And my flesh is deceitful. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's why I've got to keep a guard on it. And I've got to saturate it with the Word of God. So that when I start to take a step this way and I know that I'm supposed to go this way, I ease up. So anytime I'm on slippery pavement, you'll see it as we're here and we're in wherever, you're going to see me when I come in at double doors. I come in double doors. I do it every time at Ambassador. They have linoleum there or whatever it's called, tile, in the hallway by the offices and all. I always go in the opposite door, the door that's coming out, because people coming out generally have dry shoes, okay? And so I will walk in that door, the left door, and then when I get in the door, I do this. I look like a bull getting ready to charge, you know. I'm so intimidating by my size anyway. All right. So I'm doing this. What am I doing? I don't want to fall. I have no fun falling. I don't like to fall. The first reason is because somebody's going to see me fall, and that's embarrassing. You know, so I fall and I look around. Who saw? All right. But it also hurts. It hurts. And at my advanced age of 45, you know, I'm prone to break something if I'm not careful. And so here's the point, dearly beloved. May I call you that? May I wrap my arms and my heart around you? I don't want you to fall. And I just pray that in your life and in mine, we talked about music, but it could deal with a gazillion different subjects. He just wants to, Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate. It means to choose ahead of time. God knew who was going to get saved. And everyone that would be in the body of Christ, the church, that in Acts chapter 2, I think the last verse, says that after Pentecost, the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church, in the English it says, such as should be saved. In the Greek language, it's present participle. Literally translated, and the Lord added to the church those being saved. So when my sister Annie accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, how old were you, Miss Annie, when you got saved? Miss Mary, I'm sorry. I'm pointing to Mary and saying Annie. Miss Mary, how old were you when you got saved?
About 9
years old. When she got saved at 9 years old, God took her out of the cauldron of the damned. And the Bible says when she asked Jesus into her heart, because God gave His Son Jesus for her, He took her out of the cauldron of the damned and He put her into the New Testament church as a born-again child of His. Okay? So that when you and I understand all that he's done for us, if we claim to love him, it's not necessary that you agree with me. What's necessary is that you agree with the word. And what I'm doing is just putting it in front of you tonight. So don't be offended, be challenged. And go to the word and say, is it possible? And I'll do my homework. I'll find out what the word of God says. And then if I have to, and you do what you can do what I did. I researched every single contemporary Christian artist at the time. Every one of them. Every one of them. Everything I could get on them. Minimum, I called their offices. Whatever. Because I want to be accurate. Because I didn't want to do anything wrong with the young people that I led. Any more than I want to be inaccurate here. But I'm counting on this group right here. I'm counting on this group in the sound booth over here. I'm counting on this group for us as we move forward, that we move forward on solid ground. And that you don't have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Because if we're right according to the Bible, we're not just one foot in this church. We're one foot in the church, which is God's word. And then we take another step and we're in the church. And we're going to be blessed of the Lord. And those who follow us, if the Lord tarries his coming, I hope your influence, Brother Chris, I hope your influence, sister, I hope your influence, brother, is going to be on this church 50 years from now, 75 years from now, that we went through some hard times here. Okay? And this isn't the first time we've gone through hard times here. I don't know if you know it or not. Many, many years ago, Brother Danny told me, and he can probably find it somewhere, many, many years ago, this church actually put a full-page article in the newspaper that said, and I don't know what happened, I don't want to know what happened. And if he told me, I don't remember at the moment. Put a full-page article in the paper here in Hendersonville that said, we apologize for our testimony. That took courage. I don't know who did it, but that took great courage and humility. What they were saying is, we have soiled our testimony. And then it built back. And all the years, I guess, after that is when all those preachers came out of this church. God used this church in a wonderful way. Have we been through some tough waters here lately? Yes. Okay? Let's don't let that stop us. The devil will, he doesn't care why we go astray, as long as we go astray. Let's stay right down by the book. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, we'll stop with that tonight. And such a happy note. All right. Good. If you'll join me in standing, why don't we sing a stanza of Isn't He Wonderful, Wonderful, Wonderful? Isn't Jesus My Lord Wonderful? How many know that? Do you know it? Oh, good, good, good. All right. If you don't know it, just bathe in it as we sing. All right. Here we go. Isn't He Wonderful, Wonderful, Wonderful? Isn't Jesus My Lord Wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard. It's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus My Lord Wonderful? How many have never sung that before? Oh, my. Let's do it one more time, all right? And then we'll dismiss with a word of prayer. Singing it out. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus My Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard. It's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus wonderful? We'll have a word of prayer, one last invitation. If what I've said doesn't make sense to you, maybe even troubles you, I'll be more than happy to sit down with you. Not going to fuss, not going to try to twist your arm. And I ought to be able to show you from the Word of God how we're to be like Christ, stamped in His image, and how many of these things can go astray. So I hope that you will. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for this night. We would ask, if what I've said tonight is biblical, Father, I pray that You'll take it to the deepest parts of our hearts. Not because I said it. That doesn't mean, oh my. But it's because it's biblical. It's Your word. It's Your ambition for us to be a peculiar people. Not weird, just special, set apart, sanctified. So Lord, help us for the ones who follow us and the ones who are here now, especially the younger ones. Lord, help us to give them a true compass of where we're headed. A true compass of if they'll live according to this sight and this line, excuse me, that It'll be God's blessing will be there. If they detour, oh my, the challenges are going to come. And so, Father, I pray that if what I've spoken is true tonight, that you'll take it to the heart. If it's not, then, Lord, erase it from their memories, please. And we'll thank you for it. Please be with us this week as we go out to serve you, and we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed.